One thing that has just happened apparently today, which is interesting because presumably they've used the Sabbath to actually conduct this campaign. The Israelis actually have attacked Gaza and they killed at least 140. Again, the Prime Minister of Israel was threatening to do this for some time and has said, look, you stop firing rockets into Israel because they were killing civilians and wounding an awful lot of people, and if not, then we will take action. And obviously nothing actually happened, and therefore they took action, and where they targeted, or they seem to have targeted, have been the police stations throughout the area of Gaza, and presumably they had intelligence that these were being used behind the rocket attacks, and whatever reason they chose that as the target that they've destroyed. We also find other threats of war as well. Pakistan has moved troops nearer to the Indian border. It says that Pakistan said yesterday it was deploying an extra 20,000 troops on its border with India as tensions rose between the two nuclear rivals. This was from the paper, which I think was... when was this one? It was today's. Yes, it was today's. So it says an announcement by Pakistani intelligence officials that the army had cancelled all leave and redeployed troops was quickly followed by the Indian government's warning its citizens against all travel into its northern neighbour. So that also is a problem. And another thing that just came through from the API Associated Press, it says that Homeland Security was forecasting five-year terror threats. It says Washington... It says the terrorism threat to the United States over the next 5 years will be driven by instability in the Middle East and Africa, persistent challenges to border security, and increasing internet savvy, says a new intelligence assessment obtained by the Associated Press. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear attacks are considered the most dangerous threats that could be carried out against the U.S., but those threats are also the most unlikely because it's so difficult for Al-Qaeda and similar groups to acquire the materials needed to carry out such plots. And so it goes into what they are basing their plans on for the next 5 years. But the thing that is certainly going to cause the real, problem in the world. It's not the problem in the world. It's the fact that it'll bring the world right to the very brink of annihilation. Is what you'll find over in Revelation chapter 9. If you just turn over with me to Revelation chapter 9. We find here the various trumpets, and it's the sixth trumpet, it's the second woe, and it says in verse 13 of Revelation 9, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." So that's the way from Jerusalem going eastward towards India, and again, this is where it's significant regarding the confrontation there is at the moment within India and Pakistan. But also it goes as far as China, and it also goes up into the northern areas, areas of Gog and Magog, the areas of Russia, and that area. And it says, release the... loose the four angels that are bound in the Red River Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay a third part of men. So it's a major problem. This is the actual nuclear attack that would escalate and cause the removal of all human life if it was allowed to continue. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Now, there's no army like that, except in China, possibly today. And then I saw the horses of the vision and one of them sat, and them that sat on them, so having breastplates of fire. Now, it almost seems as if these are robotic armies, it almost seems that individuals are sitting on them. It almost seems like a combined human with robotic in some respect. Of fire and jacinth and brimstone, the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of the mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was a third of men killed, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, their heads with them that they do hurt, and the rest of men were not killed, and so on. So we see here in Revelation this army that is being gathered together. And we find it also mentioned, if we go over to Joel, Joel chapter 2, we find again an army being mentioned right at the time of the end, right at the time of the time that the day of the Lord then comes in. And it, after this army that gathers towards Armageddon, the day of the Lord then follows and Christ has to intervene. So this is the crucial area that everything is seemingly, well, not seemingly, it is working towards on this, the human scale. But here in Joel 2 it says, though the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Notice the inhabitants of the land, it's not the Zion, the church, presumably. It's talking about the area around Zion, the area of the inhabitants of the holy mountain. For the day of the eternal comes, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess and clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spreads spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there's never been the like. Now, an army of 200 million, there has never been the like. We haven't had an army that large before. Neither shall there any evermore be like it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, and nothing shall escape them. So again, they're looking at something which is presumably robotic in its nature. That's the way it looks. From the vantage point we find ourselves in today, that's the way it looks. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen they'll run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of flames of fire that devour stubble, and a strong people set in battle array. So these things are making noise as they advance. They're very noisy. So they're, again, robotic infantry would in fact be noisy like that. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They will run like mighty men. They'll climb the walls like men of war. And they shall march every one in his ways, and they will not break their ranks. And again, it looks much more like robotics than, say, something like tank warfare. People have tried to apply tank warfare to this. It doesn't look that way as far reading it from, again, from our present perspective. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in their path, and when they fall on the sword, they will not be wounded. So this again indicates that it's not purely human. They'll run to and fro in the city. They'll run upon the walls or climb up into the houses. They'll enter the windows like a thief. Again, you see some of these spider-like contraptions that they can. They can shrink themselves down and climb in through a window. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. And the earth and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Eternal shall utter his voice before his army. And his camp is very great, for his strong that executes his word. For the day of the Eternal is great and very terrible, and who shall abide it? And again, this army is used to punish the beast power. It talks about a third of the men being killed in Revelation. And then once they gather together, Christ returns, because it would escalate into total destruction for the world. And then you're looking at them turning on Christ, and Christ actually slaying them. Now, if you want to put in your notes Ezekiel 39, you'll find in that particular chapter that in verse 1 to 4 it talks about how these people will actually fall in Israel. Between verse 1 and 4 it talks about that. It also talks in verse 11 to 16 how it's not purely, if there are robots involved, it's not purely robotic. It seems to be a combination of robotic with human, because the actual dead bodies and the bones that they will actually find at that time. The interesting point is that in the news currently there are things going on which at first glance seem to have nothing to do with this at all. And yet when you really start to understand what is prophesied and what is prophesied in this area, and you see how China has risen and risen over the years that we've, you know, over the last few years, really since Mr. Armstrong has died, China has risen as an industrial power to a degree that has never been even anticipated before. And this is from the New York Times. It says the reckoning, the dollar shift, Chinese pockets filled as the Americans are emptied. It says, in March 2005, a low-key Princeton economist who had become a Federal Reserve governor coined a novel theory to explain the growing tendency of Americans to borrow from foreigners, particularly the Chinese, to finance their heavy spending. The problem, he said, was not that Americans spend too much, but the foreigners save too much. The Chinese have piled up so much excess savings that they lend money to the United States at low rates, underwriting in American consumption. So what has happened is the money, the wealth, is moving from the United States across to the Chinese. It says the colossal credit cycle could not last forever, he said. But in a global economy, the transfer of Chinese money to America was a market phenomenon that would take years, even a decade, to work itself out. For now, he said, quote, we probably have little choice except to be patient. Now, the way things are going in the present economic climate, we don't have the time to be patient, as we'll go on and see. The Chinese are now very, very worried indeed about what is happening. It says, today, the dependence of the United States on Chinese money looks less benign. And the economist that proposed the theory, Ben Bernanke, is dealing with the consequences, having been promoted to the chairman of the Fed, Federal Reserve, in 2006, as these cross-border money flows were reaching stratospheric levels. In the past decade, China has invested upwards of $1 trillion, mostly earnings from manufacturing exports, into American government bonds and government-backed mortgage debt. That has lowered interest rates and helped fuel a historic consumption binge and housing bubble in the United States. China, some economists say, lulled American consumers and their leaders into complacency about their spendthrift ways. Now, you say, well, how did China do that? Well, basically, what actually happened? Well, let's just read on for another place. It says, in Washington, China was treated as a threat by some people, but mostly because it lured away manufacturing jobs. Others argued that China's heavy lending to this country was risky because Chinese leaders could decide to withdraw money at a moment's notice, creating a panicky run on the dollar. Mr. Bernanke's view viewed such international investment flows through a different lens. He argued that the Chinese invested savings abroad because consumers in China did not have enough confidence to spend. Changing that situation would take years and did not amount to a pressing problem for the Americans. So they don't look upon it as a pressing problem. Let me, again, I'm dotting in different places in the article. Here, we go to another place in the article. It says, China tied itself ever more tightly to the United States than did Japan. In 1995, it devalued its currency and set a firm exchange rate of roughly 8.3 to the dollar, a level that remained fixed for a decade. So what it did, it fixed its exchange rate, and it allowed itself to just, even though there's an enormous amount of money coming into China, and it was then invested, well, basically it was then had this imbalance between the two countries, what would normally happen would be the exchange rates would therefore start to change, but it wouldn't allow that exchange rate to happen. It says, during the Asian financial crisis in 97-98, China clung firmly to its currency policy, earning praise from the Clinton administration for helping check the spiral of devaluation sweeping Asia. Its low wages attracted hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign investment. By the early part of this decade, the United States was importing huge amounts of Chinese-made goods, toys, shoes, flat-screen televisions, auto parts, while selling much less to China in return. But in classical economics, that trade gap could not have persisted for long without bankrupting the American economy, except that China recycled its trade's profits right back into the United States. It did so to protect its own interests. China kept its banks under tight state control and its currency on a short leash to ensure financial stability. It required companies and individuals to save in the state-run banking system most foreign currency, primary dollars, that they earned from foreign trade and investments. As foreign trade surged, this hoard of dollars became enormous. In 2000, the reserve was less than $200 billion. Today, they're about $2 trillion. Chinese leaders chose to park the bulk of that in safe securities backed by the American government, including treasury bonds and the debt of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which had implicit government backing. He then goes on, he says, but American officials eased the pressure. They decided to put more emphasis on urging Chinese consumers to spend more of their savings, which they hoped would eventually bring the two economies into better balance. On a tour of China, John Snow, the Treasury Secretary at the time, even urged the Chinese to start using credit cards. China kicked off its own campaign to encourage domestic consumption, which it hoped would provide a new source. But the Chinese save with the same zeal that until recently Americans spent. There's a different philosophy of mind. It's a different character. The Chinese character is to save what they make. And it says, shorn of the social safety net of the old communist state, they squirreled away money to pay for hospital visits, housing, or retirement. They took it upon themselves to put all this money away, and they're putting it in the government-controlled banks, and the government were then lending the money to the United States, and the money from the United States was then coming back over again. So this spiral was just going deeper and deeper and deeper all the time. It says, this accounts for the saving glut identified by Mr. Bernanke. Privately, Chinese officials confided to visiting Americans that the effort was not achieving much. It then goes on, it says, critics detected a pattern, and they noted that in the twice yearly reports to Congress about the trading partners, the Treasury Department had never branded China a currency manipulator. We're tiptoeing around, desperately trying not to irritate or offend the Chinese, said Thayer Lee, public policy director of AFL-CIO. But to get concrete results, you have to be confrontational. For China, too, this crisis has been a time of reckoning, and this is the important point. Americans are buying fewer Chinese DVD players and microwave ovens. Trade is collapsing. Thousands of workers are losing their jobs, and Chinese leaders are terrified of social unrest. So what is happening is they are sitting on a fantastic amount of money. They have a fantastic infrastructure of making electronic goods, shipbuilding, all the various things that they've been building up over the last decade and more. And they're terrified of the social unrest that would unseat them. So what is going to happen? Now, that, obviously, we don't know, except for what it says in prophecy. We know that there is going to be this army. This army will exist. And you see within China today all the symptoms that coming and coalescing together to produce that army. You've got a government that is terrified of the social unrest. You've got vast amounts of money within the banks. And this has all been funded by America and the consumerism in America that's actually put that money there. You've got an infrastructure which is electronically based and is also geared to manufacturing other goods, even the shipbuilding and the steelworks and so on within China. It lends itself, therefore, to be switched across into military hardware. It just cries out for that. I mean, that would be the obvious solution. Military hardware would be the obvious solution. And it won't be military hardware that we've seen within the armies and current armies of today's nations. It will be the next generation. You can guarantee it. Because that's where the next generation generation of all of the various goods has been coming from. It's been coming from China. Another article, and this again was from Friday, yesterday's paper, says China resurrects Mao's policy to send the jobless graduates to teach the peasants. Again, they've got a tremendous problem because they've gone ahead and trained all these graduates, and now they don't know what to do with them because of the economic slump. And it says China is sending tens of thousands of unemployed graduates to teach rural peasants in a repeat of one of Chairman Mao's most controversial policies. 40 years after millions of students were sent to the provinces during the Cultural Revolution, the economic downturn has forced students to again head for the rural areas. A record 5.6 million students will graduate this year. What are you going to do with them? There's no economy to put them in. 5.6 million. You know, they don't do things by halves. And so what we are looking at, when we see the prophecies, we see an army of 200 million described in a way that is robotic, linked to human in some way. You see a government that is, you know, reeling and wondering what on earth to do. You see an infrastructure there. You see the money available. It doesn't take a genius to see how this prophetic scenario will come together or could well come together. So it's an area we need to watch. We don't need to be frightened of it. But it is interesting to see just how the actual financing of this army is actually coming from America. It is from the DVDs, flat screens, and all the other computer parts and everything, all the other motor manufactured parts and everything else that America has been buying, and the UK and Europe have been buying from China, creating this trade deficit that will actually finance, it seems, the army that will cause the bring the world right to the brink of the abyss.